15 years ago this month, the Cato Institute launched the Cato Daily Podcast, and to mark the occasion, we're hoping to give you a token of our appreciation and ask a small favor. Visit cato.org/cdp15 to get a pair of vinyl Cato Daily Podcast stickers in the mail and give one of them to a friend who might enjoy timely libertarian perspectives on issues of the day. That website again is cato.org/cdp15. And now more than ever, thank you for listening. This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. The rise of China as an economy has inspired all manner of speculation about what it means for the U.S. economy and U.S. security. John Mueller is author of the new Cato paper, China, Rise or Demise. We spoke last week. John, when people talk about the rise of China as an economic power and as a military threat to particularly the United States, what are they referring to?
Well, China, of course, is growing so that now in the world, it's either number one or number two in GDP, but it's still like 78th in GDP per capita. At that rate, it's questionable how you would define what a developed country is, but China might not fall into it. It's going to continue to grow, almost certainly, though a lot of its policies are very questionable in that respect. It mostly seems to be a reasonably comfortable trading partner for the most part. I mean, there's things they do that people don't like, but the people that don't like a lot of things a lot of other people do as well. Militarily, they're growing somewhat. The former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said they're building more military than they actually need for their protection. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So there's a concern that if they continue to grow militarily, they're going to become more militarily assertive, even in the Western Hemisphere. And I think that's just very questionable. The key thing about them is that they don't really have territorial ambitions a la Hitler, with the exception of wanting to get Taiwan back at some time or other. And also that they're very much a trading state. They rely on the international trading regime. That doesn't mean they don't have disputes with it and vice versa. But it's not a threat, it seems to me. It's certainly not a security threat to pretty much anybody, certainly the United States.
If I understand you correctly, then the view is that China, by virtue of its growth is on the back of interdependence with the rest of the world, and that would likely reduce their incentive to have these kinds of territorial ambitions or try to engage the rest of the world militarily.
Yes, regardless, they don't seem to have territorial ambitions beyond the issue of Taiwan, maybe a few islands or submerged rocks in the South China Sea. They've made deals with dozens of countries on their border. There's border disputes all over the place. There's still a couple left over, namely with India and Nepal. But mostly over the decades, they've done a pretty good job of sort of making agreements in which some cases they gave up territory. So they're just not Hitlerian. They don't want to take over anybody else's territory. They do certainly want to play a bigger role on the international stage. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. They're a major contributor to United Nations peacekeeping forces, for example.
Did Hong Kong believe that it had a deal with China?
Yeah, they can break deals. That was a complicated issue in the sense that they were actually seceding from China. And they're also very much concerned about, at the other end, in the western end, Xinjiang seceding. And once they seem to be moving in that direction, China cracked down. But that's basically keeping a country from a chunk of your country from getting out, rather than the other way around.
There are a lot of concerns about China's theft of intellectual property. China's making use of that intellectual property to challenge U.S. producers of other products. And one of the complaints I hear most, especially from Republicans, is that dominance in various sectors will damage the United States economically, and that's something to be concerned about. Is there any evidence that China would want to use that strategically for the purposes of its growth into a hegemonic power?
Yeah, well, the intellectual property thing is fairly bizarre. Countries have been stealing intellectual secrets from other countries forever. And apparently it's the case, there's a recent article about this in International Security, apparently it's the case that the only country that does not steal secrets, or a major country that does not steal secrets from abroad and then give them to their own businesses, is the United States. Very strange. So essentially, China's following the international norm, which is to steal. Mostly stealing in the paper producing for Cato, and mostly stealing is not a terribly good procedure. The best thing is to innovate on your own. And if you steal, you tend to put less money in the kind of development that you might want to do that's good from your standpoint. If they become more dominant in certain areas, and they become more dominant in certain areas, you have to live with that. If they overuse their dominance, then what you have to do is figure out ways around it. And that's a, you know, it's a standard competitive sort of thing. You play with them or you play against them. As they get richer, and, you know, they're the major trading partner for a huge number of countries, they're going to have a certain amount of clout, and you may have to play their game if you want to continue trading. If you don't like it, stop trading. And they can, you know, they're the famous case of the National Basketball Association, a guy who tweeted about what was going on in Hong Kong. They didn't like it, so they turned off the lights. They wouldn't let the NBA show some of its very games very lucratively within China. That's the thing countries can do if they want to do that. And the NBA then sort of groveled afterwards. That's not very pleasant to watch, but it's not really much of a threat. It's basically certainly a security threat. And there are ways around it. If they start to monopolize and raise, like any cartel or monopoly, try to raise prices, then the solution to that, given this huge world we're in, is to figure out ways around it and to break the monopoly or produce more cheaply and better in other places. So competition is very much there and should continue. It's a good thing.
To the extent the United States needs to make adjustments in order to either accommodate or deal with the rise of China, what should that look like in policy, and what is typically discussed? What's typically on the table for dealing with a surging China?
Well, as far as I can see, the best thing is to do nothing, except deal carefully. And if there are things you don't like some of their civil rights violations, it's perfectly appropriate to complain about it. But there's basically nothing you can do to change where they're going. In many respects, they're making a lot of mistakes. They're very much, as many Chinese in the past have said, they're foregoing economic reform, from their standpoint, very rationally, because their chief goal is not economic development, but keeping the Communist Party, the kleptocratic, I might add, Communist Party in office. And if it costs growth, then they're willing to pay that price. That's unfortunate. They're also clamping down on civil liberties, which is going to be bad in a whole lot of different ways. So they're basically making a lot of mistakes. Napoleon once said, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake. Now, I don't think it's appropriate to consider China as an enemy anyway, but the basic idea probably holds. There's really nothing you can do. And furthermore, they're very insecure. A lot of observers have seen this, both from the sort of pro-China standpoint and from the anti-China standpoint. And anything you do with sanctions or mucking around or interfering and so forth is only going to make it worse in many respects. Basically, they're on essentially a peaceful rise. The rise, I think, can be accommodated. And eventually, if there's going to be reform inside, it's going to have to come from inside. It can't be forced upon them from outside. So it's perfectly appropriate to worry about Hong Kong, worry about Xinjiang and so forth. You certainly want to compete and keep up with them and outclass them if you can. But I don't see any real policy implication in it. And also in this context, let me quote Ambassador Chas Freeman. He says, quote, "There is no military answer to a grand strategy built on a nonviolent expansion of commerce and navigation," close quote. I think that's basically the case. The idea we have to have more aircraft carriers in some place or other, it's just basically nonsense. They're going to expand. We can, I think, accommodate that and deal with it. And the hysteria about China just, I think, is overwhelmingly unjustified.
John Mueller is author of the new Cato paper, China, Rise or Demise. It's our 15th anniversary at the Cato Daily Podcast. In appreciation to our listeners, we have a small gift for you. Visit cato.org/CDP15 to learn more.